Hi there, this is Laurie Way. I'm the manager of the Writing Center. Unfortunately, I can't be with you in person today. I was required to be at another event elsewhere on campus, but I really wanted to share with you what I learned about having peer reviewers for an online journal at UVic. The first thing I found out was that it's actually pretty hard to get reviewers. And so what I did was I ended up advertising to people by letting them know how it helped them. So I was focused on graduate students and instructors and retired professors from UVic. So with the graduate students, I advertised by letting them know how it would be good for their resume. And for instructors and retired faculty, I sent them a letter explaining how it would be really great for the undergraduate students if they could have their involvement in this journal. I then collected a long list of reviewers. I had them send me their name and their email address and a list of the areas in which they felt competent to review a paper. Now, because the Arbutus Review is an interdisciplinary journal, I wanted to get as wide a range as possible because my goal was to have two reviewers per paper, which is pretty standard for a journal that's peer reviewed. And I wanted one to be in the specific area of the paper, and I wanted one to be in a different discipline, but a same sort of area. An example would be in our first edition or first issue. There's a paper on the discourse of dying that came out of sociology, and so I had a peer reviewer from sociology review that, and I also had someone from nursing review that, and so that provided a really nice balance of opinions on the paper. And then I would receive the papers. I'd already have my list of editor or peer reviewers available to me. And then as submissions came in, I would match them up and send them out. Now, what I learned is that it's really important to be clear with reviewers what you want from them. I ended up requesting that they not use track changes because what I found is that they focus then on really small stuff like grammar, whereas the grammar just gets cleaned up in the editorial stage. It's not the job of the peer reviewer to take a look at grammar. So I have a list of questions which ask them, what are the strengths of the paper? What are the weaknesses of the paper? Do you have any recommendations to make the paper stronger? And then finally the question, do you recommend this paper for publication or no? And there's never been a case where a paper has been accepted as is. There's always a request for revisions. Sometimes those revisions are substantial and sometimes they're not. And then it's up to the author whether he or she would like to engage in those revisions. So I send the reviewers the paper, but of course it's a blind peer review that we do, so I strip off all the identifying information, and then I send it to the peer reviewer with the sheet, and then I ask them to please fill out that sheet and return it to me. I send it as a Word document. And so when I get my two reviewers' feedback back, I take a good hard look at it and decide what to do, because this is actually one of the harder parts. Oh, I should mention, if you don't hear back from your peer reviewers, you might need to follow up with them. I found that I needed to provide a very strict deadline, so I would give them 1 month in which they had to return the review. Most people return it very soon, but some people let it linger. And so then about a week before the final deadline, I'd send an email reminder, hey, just to ask how it's going, that sort of thing. And I found that I had very good responses with that. The first year I ran the Arbutus Review, I didn't have a very good response rate, and I was really in a jam because then I was struggling to find more peer reviewers in order to have the articles reviewed in time for our October 1st publication date. So when I get the reviews back side by side, I take a look at them, and it's easy if they agree. Sometimes they will both say, no, don't publish this, or sometimes they'll say yes, but with these revisions. Other times one comes back as a yes and a no. And in that case, I tend to find a third reviewer. I also take into account what exactly the comments are, because as the managing editor, really, it's my choice at the end of the day whether that article gets published or not. Sometimes I have concerns about a particular paper, like whether the content is a little bit too risky for the university's reputation, and so then I'll be sure to get a number of different people's feedback on that paper. And then I will compile the two sets of reviews, because of course I want to protect the reviewer's anonymity as well, as easy as it is in a fairly small campus like UVic. And then I send that to the author. And the author has the choice to make that they either will engage in the revisions or not. I've never had anybody not, but I have had people get frustrated with the revision process. When the revisions come back in, that's when I take a look and see if they've met the requirements of the peer reviewers, and then I can proceed from there. Now, in terms of advertising for reviewers, I recommend posters. I recommend sending out emails if you can gather people's email addresses. For example, with graduate students, there's a graduate student listserv through the GSS that I use. As well, I don't provide training as such because my document is very clear about what I expect. I learned that lesson the hard way. And in terms of criteria, I ask that they be really able to have an open mind when reading the paper. This is super important because some people think that being a peer reviewer means that you get to be very harsh in your feedback. And this is one of my jobs as the managing editor, that I strip out that negativity before I send the feedback on to the authors, because I don't feel that it's warranted, especially for undergraduate authors. And what kind of format should comments be made? I'm just looking at the list of questions Imba Kehoe gave me. As I said, I have it in a Word document. You can always ask people to put comments in track changes, but because the content should be based on the content, not the format or anything about the citations or about grammar, I find that I get less substantive content when I do it that way. It's much better to have the Word document. I'd like to get back to the issue of the criteria for reviewers. Because I'm publishing an undergraduate journal, I was going to use undergraduate peer reviewers at first, but because I didn't have an easy means for advertising to them, I didn't. And so I went with graduate students because it is so much easier to appeal to them, and the communication system for them is a bit easier to access. So I'm sure that it's actually not hard to find enough undergraduate peer reviewers, but you'll have to really put on your thinking caps to figure out how you're going to get them. And especially if you're looking at, for example, publishing a journal that's in your discipline, you're going to have to think about, okay, well, how does the blind peer review process work here? How blind can it actually be? And really consider what you can do in terms of anonymity and what you can't do. If you would be interested in seeing the sheet that I have that I give reviewers, you can reach me at twcdir@uvic.ca. That's twcdir@uvic.ca. And just send me a quick email and I'll be able to send it to you as a Word document. Feel free to copy it almost word for word if you want. That's just fine. You don't even need to cite me. As long as you change the title of the journal, I'm very happy. Thanks everyone for coming out to this session, and I wish you the best of luck with your journals and with your recruitment of peer editors. And please let me know if you have any questions. As I said, you can reach me at that email address. Any questions you have, you can send them there, or we can make an appointment to meet and chat about them. Best of luck. Thanks.